Hi everyone. Welcome again to the Hashira Half Hour. My name is Emily. I'm your resident TikTok doom scroller, joined as always by Hannah and Brian.
Hi everyone. I'm your resident anime t-shirt at my local Dunkin' Donuts person.
I'm done with you. What's up, guys? It's Brian. I'm the demon who made Tanjiro drop his croissant. I'm living that life.
Gosh. Stop.
Let me drop
Eat
my
my
croissant.
croissant.
You know, mommy, croissant.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
It. No.
Well, this
Funny.
is your Motley Crue for today. And we are going to be analyzing episode six, Swordsman Accompanying a Demon. So this is a pretty awesome episode. There's a lot of action in this one. We get to see some of these skills that have been really worked on and honed put into action. And I decided that I wanted to try to analyze this episode through the lens of parallels. So I think that there are a number of really interesting characters that are held up in comparison to one another. And we can kind of talk about the ways that they're similar or different in this episode, because I kind of think it's about the different ways that they would approach certain things. So the first, of course, that comes to mind, and the title of the episode, is going to be Tanjiro and Nezuko's relationship. It's mentioned again in that title. This is their first true combat experience that they have after joining the Demon Slayer Corps. We also get to hear a little bit later in the episode from Orokodaki that he tried to use some kind of hypnotic persuasion on Nezuko during her lengthy period of sleep, and we get to see it unfold in this episode. I wanted to ask, how do you guys think that Tanjiro and Nezuko's missions are similar, and how are they carrying those out?
Kind of going for it, right? Their missions are similar in the sense that, like, they are to protect people. However, like, those are formed and executed in different manners, right? Nezuko's is obviously a lot simpler in the sense that, her mission is just to protect humans, right? Orokodaki gave her just like, humans are friends, humans are your family, do the thing, right? Tanjiro has this protection with a lot more context, whether it be like a demon slaying a human trying or things like that. His mission of protection overall is a lot more focused, whereas Nezuko's just like, ah, you a demon? Ah, bah, 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 bah.
Yeah, I do think there are some similarities. I think, we get this flashback of Tanjiro seeing his family again. That kind of comes up a lot. And I do think that Nezuko feels that way too. I think that she obviously has lost a lot of her humanity, and we're at the very beginning of the show where she still is very just demon-like, I guess you could call it. But I do think going back to episode one when she protected Tanjiro, that was long before she was put under this hypnosis type thing. So I think that they both are still driven by the love of their family and their love for each other. And I think there's a lot of similarities with that. But also, like what Brian said, she is very straightforward, just like, let's kill these demons. They're bad. They're gonna hurt humans. But I think they both are similarly driven by their family.
Okay. I guess going off of that, like her kind of impulsive reactions, do you think that she is driven by a mission, or is it like an animal instinct right now?
I think a little bit of both. I mean, there's a lot to be said about the hypnosis that Erdokodaki put on her. I think that there's definitely a side to her where she still has that ability to think for herself, but it's definitely helping. So I think that there's a little bit more to it than just there's a mission to kill demons. I think that she obviously has her own will still. I just think it's helping her out a little bit.
Yeah, the hypnosis. She said hypnosis, right? Her instincts are a little bit more primal, I think. So, like, yes, I think Orokodaki's like mind training helped her, but I do think it's like she is like kind of like a baby, I would kind of say at this point, right? Like, you can give a baby food, doesn't mean baby's gonna eat it, right? They could throw it back at you or they could eat it. And I think that's just kind of what Nezuko said. She was like, oh, Tanjiro is like my main person. And then she's like, like, seeing how Tanjiro is behaving and fighting these other demons, I think it kind of like goes hand in hand of like her like primal instincts of protection and her individual will and like basic understanding of the world again. Cause I don't know if like becoming a demon made her like, I don't know, her brain like do like a reset and an update, if you will, but I think that's kind of how it worked out.
Yeah, no, I really pushed the agree. Oh, sorry, Hannah.
Go for it. I was gonna say Muzan just really pushed the reset button.
For real, on like so many different things and so many people and demons, right? That's kind of an interesting one. So we'll get to that in just a second. But going back again to like the relationship between Tanjiro and Nezuko and them hopefully fighting for the same cause, albeit maybe their approaches are slightly different. We talked about how we think that they're similar. Do you think that there are major differences between the two of them?
Yeah, I mean, kind of like we touched on, I think Nezuko definitely has her own will, but still doesn't completely, you know, like I said, she's kind of lost her humanity. So I think that this hypnosis is definitely helping her. Tanjiro is acting completely on his own free will. You know, he has all of his memories. He has all of his abilities, his speaking abilities, his ability to think for himself and to protect. And I think that it's different. Obviously, with him being a human and she's a demon, that there's differences with that. But he's able to see the full picture, where I think Nezuko maybe sees a very small part of the picture, but is willing to act on that small picture that she sees.
Any other thoughts, Brian?
Kind of what the difference is, I think it comes a lot from like what Nezuko's primal instincts tell her. And I think it's mainly because I think honestly Orokodaki is the difference, right? Because as long as we're talking about parallels, right, Orokodaki gave Tanjiro a training arc, but I think that hypnosis might have been Nezuko's training arc, right? Like, without that in the mix, I think Nezuko probably wouldn't have only fought other demons only out of the reason to protect Tanjiro. Like, I don't think that if Orokodaki hadn't done any of like this hypnosis, she would have been willing to jump out of the box, you know, for Kazumi at that point. I think it really would have been on a Tanjiro's protection. And I think that's kind of where it comes into play, is that Orokodaki gave both of them a training arc, and he kind of gave them both the step up that they needed in, I guess, facing demons, if you will, to really, I guess, come together as a team.
I love it. The partnering of the opposites, almost, to be able to fight towards the same goal. Very cool. All right. Well, we love Tanjiro and Nezuko, but I want to move on now to the one that I think is the most interesting in the episode. Again, love Tanjiro and Nezuko, but we do get to see them a lot. So we already mentioned this person once, but I wanted to talk about the parallels between Tanjiro and Kazumi. Both of them are young men coming of age. They've both faced immense tragedy in their lives. Tanjiro has lost his entire family, except for the young girl in the family that's coming of age as well, Nezuko. And on the flip side, Kazumi loses his beloved young woman, who is about the same age. So what do you think of the ways that they responded and leapt to action? Do you think that there's anything that's similar or different?
I think the main thing with Kazumi is we're 24 hours into that like grief period. And I think that's really important to remember. Not really sure if Kazumi would have taken the same actions as Tanjiro, right? Given that he's just finding out that demon slayers are real and that demons are real. Like, he's like, oh man, I hope someone believes me. I think as he kind of figures this out, I would hope that he would try and take more actions to like, I guess, revenge and like idealize some of that hope for his family. But right now, I don't think he has that same resolve as Tanjiro to try and, you know, right the wrongs of his life.
Yeah, I kind of felt like Tanjiro's like fight or flight instinct was activated immediately when all this happened. And I think Kazumi kind of more just let the grief overtake him. Obviously, like, what they lost was kind of similar but also different, because Kazumi is losing his fiance, Tanjiro lost his family, and there's obviously like different things that you can do. But I think the main reason why I feel like their reactions could have been or are different is mostly because when Tanjiro lost his family, he was able to still hold on to that Nezuko being alive side of things, and he was able to focus on that and protecting her. When Kazumi didn't really have that, you know, he went to, I believe her family is the one that we see kind of like hitting him. So he didn't really have someone to cling to. He went to her family and they like said, "How dare you? How dare you let her go? How dare you not protect her?" And I think if it had been different for him and he had someone, maybe a family member that was like, let's avenge her death or whatever, I think it would have been different for him. I think he just felt a lot more lost than Tanjiro did.
Yeah. I mean, and the circumstances are different. You know, Tanjiro had like a certain sense of finality, I think, coming home and like physically seeing everybody be slaughtered. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, there's some permanence in that. Whereas Kazumi's fiance has like completely vanished, like right in front of him. And like, what do you do when something like that happens? Do you leap into action or do you, you know, kind of wallow in that for a moment? And I think his wallowing period is just longer than Tanjiro's. But Tanjiro also had Giyu show up a lot faster. And while Kazumi has had Tanjiro show up, it's been like a longer grieving period and more time for like regret and doubt, I think. So definitely different, but similar.
Even in that, right, Tanjiro showing up to someone who had the same exact thing happen to him, that's itself is a parallel, right? Of like, okay, now Tanjiro is passing on one of those like moments where he's going to change someone's mind. And I feel like this could be, or like, you know, maybe like non-canon, if you will, like that could have been like Kazumi's arc of like, ah, oh, this is my spark. Let me grab at it.
I like to think that Kazumi joined the Demon Slayer Corps after this. We just never heard from him.
I would like to imagine that too. I feel like you have to imagine that he's got to be like some kind of inspired seeing mm-hmm. Tanjiro come the same way that Tanjiro would have been. Maybe it's not as fast and maybe he's not like as inherently skilled of a swordsman and, you know, has like the predestination, like destiny kind of stuff that Tanjiro has going on, but maybe he still could have made it. He'd had the right drive. Yeah. I think that's nice to think about. Cool. So the last point that I wanted to call out specifically in regards to the parallels was now between Nezuko, who we have already talked about, but the other demons that we've been introduced to as well. So we spend a good deal of time with the swamp demon in this episode. They're probably the most prominent and the one that we see the most, but this episode is also one of our first real references to Muzan, who is the original demon, of course. So we know that all of them are demons. They all have distinct differences. But what, if anything, do you think is similar between these three?
Oh, man. Similarities? I mean, it's hard to say. I think there's similarities between the swamp demon and Muzan because they're evil and they just want to devour and kill. And, you know, we obviously know that Nezuko is just very different from all demons. So I think that, you know, tying her into it is tough other than her being a demon. Because there's definitely a lot of differences. But I mean, you think about Muzan being the very first demon, and obviously there's some kind of evil intention behind that. We don't know it yet, but there's a reason why someone would want to become a demon and be able to prey on human beings and live forever. And usually that doesn't come out of a nice or kind sentiment. It usually is out of something evil. So, you know, there's that being wanting to be evil, and then the swamp demon wanting to devour these girls before they turn 16, you know, oh, because I want to taste them. I want them to taste better than if they are 17. And that's definitely evil as well. 100%.
Yeah. Similarities between the demons, with them, I think they all kind of have something gross or disgusting about them, TBH. Like, we look at Nezuko, when she is, like, going ham, she gets, like, those veins on her face, and she's like, oh, and then it's, like, kind of gross. The neck demon, it was the neck demon, it was like, oh, blah, blah. These swamp demons have, like, that weird, disgusting, like,
yes, nails on a chalkboard.
Every time. I hated that.
And I think that's kind of, I guess it's kind of my appeal to the demons of like each episode, because they all have something like a little bit different. And I think it kind of comes back to like, bad guy, are they a bad guy? Right. I think that like every little individual piece about them, while it's a little ugly, you question like the origin of where some of these behaviors come from or where these defining features come from. And I think that kind of gives us a similarity, is that maybe these demons were all wronged at one point and this is what pushed them down the path. And now we're just seeing like the long-term results of it. So I think that's kind of one of my favorite similarities of demons, is that they all kind of have something that pushed them to become a demon. And then you kind of, now, as we see Tanjiro fight them in developed states, we kind of see their end results of their hatred, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. The end results of the hatred. Something to think about. I mean, when I was, you know, kind of considering this question, one of the things that came to mind for me right away was also like just the fact that there is like literally this shared blood between them. So it's like, again, coming back a little bit to that concept of like destiny, like this is like from the original, like prodigal demon, like, is there a sense of that predestination that they're not able to avoid? And to an extent, I think that they can try to fight it. But as of right now, there are some of those things that are like the similar characteristics that they would have. So, you know, the violence, I think, is definitely something. Like, you have, of course, Muzan is the original demon. We haven't seen him too much yet, but obviously there's, like, a very destructive kind of background that he's got to have. He wants to, like, put out the light that is humanity and ensure that demons are able to take over by kind of, like, spreading his spawns throughout the world. And then you've got like the more like kind of like lower level as of right now demons, and obviously like just the innate bloodlust that the ones that we've encountered have. But then Nezuko, like, even though it's not directed at demons, like, she was kind of brutal in this episode. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen the full result of what happened at the end, but she was kind of pulling off a curb stomp there pretty quick. And it's like, you know, so like there is still that bloodlust. It's just redirected. But mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, she popped out right at the time that, like, the demon's hand was about to, like, obliterate Tanjiro's head. So, you know, protection. She's wanting to protect her brother and make sure that he's not killed. But I like how you mentioned the introduction to Muzan, because obviously this is the first time we're hearing his name in this episode. And as Orokodaki is saying his name, they introduce Muzan, like, his back is turned to us, and they have this sound of like people screaming, and we see like blood trickling down the screen. So they like automatically show just how much of a bloodlust he has and how just evil he is. And it was pretty crazy when you think about it that way.
Yeah, it definitely sets him up for quite the entrance.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Taylor Swift said, you know, baby, now we got bad blood, right?
Exactly, Brian.
Brian is killing it today, man.
I would love to see Taylor Swift join the Demon Slayer Corps. Let me just say.
Oh my god, I'm
done. Stop breathing, first form. Bad blood. Oh.
Diss track, form two.
Dear John. Oh my gosh. Man. All right, guys. All right, so now let's go ahead and transition into speaking about our favorite moments from this week's episode. I'm going to go ahead and go first. So my favorite moment was when Nezuko was embracing Kazumi and the unknown young woman, and then kind of seeing in them her younger siblings. It was really cool to see Orokodaki's hypnosis kind of set in at that moment. It was, I think, the moment that really made the title of the episode pay off, seeing that the swordsman and the demon can work together, and just seeing her kind of turn on her own kind fully for the first time in a mission scheduled for the Demon Slayer Corps. I love it. It gives me goosebumps. It's a great moment.
I think my favorite moment of the episode is probably Tanjiro talking with Kazumi. And I think mainly because that he's reaffirming the belief that demons are real, right? I think it's very easy. And I think this is very relatable in real life too. When you're having a very stressful situation, it is so easy to think like, oh, this is just like my anxiety, like pumping this up. This is just something that I'm creating in my head. And I think that Tanjiro is saying, no, I believe you that there was a demon. I believe you that there is something wrong here, I think is really powerful. And even though it's not like the most, like, I guess, protagonist thing he does this episode, where I think it's more emotionally reaffirming and emotionally like solidifying for Kazumi that like his problems are real, but also that someone is there to help him. And I think that's really the coolest part for me about this episode, is that Tanjiro is willing to say, hey, you are right, there is something wrong, and let me show you what I can do about it.
My favorite part is a little bit different than that. And it's more of the sentimental side of me showing, but it was actually when Tanjiro was leaving Orokodaki's house, specifically when he like offered to pin his uniform. I just really felt like those first few scenes of the episode had me feeling some type of way, but that specific moment was just so special. Like, it's something so simple where he's just buttoning up his uniform, but it's such a like fatherly type thing to do, and it really like kind of wrapped up their relationship in a bow, because like obviously we're moving on from that story, from that arc of Orokodaki being kind of that father figure and training person for Tanjiro, and now Tanjiro's moving on to being his own person and being this member of the Demon Slayer Corps with Nezuko in tow. And it just felt very like, all right, like literally, quite literally sending your son into war essentially was what he was doing. But it just was something that really tugged at my heartstrings every time I watched the episode. And it's something so simple, but so special.
I love it. These are all such great moments. It's a strong episode. Mm-hmm. It is kind of cut in half, I think, a little bit. I had forgotten what the editing looked like until I watched it again. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, like this is a story in two parts. This isn't really like a self-contained episode, but still some really strong moments that I think set us up really well for the future of this mission and the future ones that Tanjiro and Nezuko are about to embark on. Mm-hmm. And I think that brings us to a pretty good closing point, unless there are any other thoughts, any other scenes that you wanted to bring up or discuss?
One last call up, possibly two, I don't know. But we also see Tanjiro's Hayori come back. We see that fresh face blue, or like that green, teal, and black come out. Like, he's developing his own Demon Slayer brand, and I like it. Like, mm-hmm. I loved seeing that like fresh face turn around, and he's like, I'm a Demon Slayer now.
That opening scene when he's like putting on the Demon Slayer uniform for the first time, and there's like drums playing, and it's so epic. You're like, oh, this is so cool.
Nezuko's like looking at her, and her eyes go all wide.
Yeah, she's like, what is my brother doing? Yeah, I'm really happy he chose to wear that Hayori instead of like the, obviously the blue one with the clouds is really sentimental to Orokodaki, but I like that he chose to stick with the one that he had, and you know, kind of seemed like a family thing since his dad had like a yellow and black checkered one, and Nezuko has a belt that's checkered, so definitely carrying on the Kamado family is what I felt. But so cool. Yeah,
the trademark look.
We love
it. Sometimes it takes a couple tries to find it, but I think he's found it, friends.
It's his Demon Slayer look, man.
All right. Well, I think that's about the time that we have. So thank you again, everyone, for another great week. Don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, do all the things. If you do leave us a question in the comments on any of our social media, you might see us answer it in a future episode. And don't forget to follow us across all that social media. We're Hashira Half Hour everywhere. We're on TikTok as well, where we post about all kinds of anime. We're on Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter. Hit that follow button. And we really appreciate you listening in today. We'll see you all next time. Umai.
Umai.
Umai.